Life to the full. Jesus said, the thief comes to only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the what? Full. Life to the full. We've been talking, statistically speaking, most people believe in God. But most people don't follow his advice. Most people don't follow God's ways. People believe in God, but they turn to other sources for their guidance in life. People believe in God, but what they hold as important is influenced by things other than God. People believe in God, but their standards, their principles, they're based on their observations of the world around them, not based on God. So our battle is not as much in convincing people that God exists, but more in convincing people that God's ways are superior to the ways that they're following around them. And in order to convince others that, we must be convinced ourselves. We have to live that. That's how we are witness. Jesus came so that we could have life and have it to the full. That's now. Jesus brings life now. That doesn't start when we exit this world. That started when we entered into a relationship with God through Jesus. So arguably, the habits of a Christian, the habits of a follower of a Christ should promote health in so many different areas. We should see healthy character traits. We should see physical health benefits from following Christ. We should see mental health benefits from following Christ. Financial health benefits. We should have a healthy understanding of the power and use of words. And we should have healthy relationship habits. And that's what we're talking about today. Healthy habits of a follower of Christ will allow us to experience the truth that Jesus shared when he said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So relationships. Did you know every connection you have with another human being, that's a relationship? It's not just family. It's every connection you have with another human being that's a relationship. You have work relationships or school relationships, whatever season of life you're in right now. Supervisors or principals and teachers, you have a relationship with those people. Co-workers or peers, fellow classmates at school. If you're at work, your clientele, whatever that means to you, if it's your customers, your clients, your patients, whatever. You've got those who you supervise, possibly. You have relationships with all of those people. You have community relationships, relationships with your neighbors. You have relationships with the vendors in your community. Some of you might frequent a restaurant and you get to know a certain server. Or you recognize someone at the grocery store every time you're there, one of the workers that's there. Those are relationships. Those are connections with other humans. A relationship with those who serve in your community. You know, you might not know the police officer in Harrison, but when you see them, you know who they are. And there's a relationship, a connection to that human. Friend relationships, you have some that are super close friends, and you have some that are just on the other side of acquaintance, right? Where you're friends enough that you're not acquaintances, but you're not really, really close, but they're still friends. You still have a friend relationship. You have long distance friends from a long time ago. You have family relationships, the kinds we would expect, the husband and wife relationship. You have a relationship with your children. You have a relationship with your parents. You have a relationship with your brothers, your sisters, your grandparents, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins. You have organizational relationships, relationships with organizational groups. Maybe you volunteer in a group in your community. This would count as a group. So when we serve side by side, shoulder to shoulder, that's an organizational relationship, our relationship with each other here at church. Maybe you play or you coach a team. Those are relationships. Maybe it's not a sports team. Maybe it's some other type of a group activity that you're involved in. And those are relationships. We are surrounded by relationships. And so we would do well to do all that we could do to turn those up, to improve on those. Because those are very, very important, those human-to-human connections. And there is a lot of advice out there, just like a lot of the other topics we've talked about in this series. There's a lot of advice out there. And some of the advice you find is very good advice. Some of the advice you stumble across is very good. And there's so many different sources. Weekend retreats to help strengthen your marriage. books on raising children, articles on difficult relationships at work, or videos online about how to handle bullies at school. And some of those sources are actually going to be very, very, very good. Some of them are going to be bogus. Some of them are not going to be good. Some of them are not going to give you advice, good advice. We are a blessed group of people because we have the best resource of them all on relationships. And that's God's word. The ultimate guide to relationships of all kinds. And more than that, what's really cool about God's word is that God's word in and of itself, it models what a good relationship looks like. Because that's what the whole book is about. Cover to cover, it's about a relationship with God. And so not only is it about our relationships, not only does it give us relationship tips and here's healthy habits, but it exemplifies for us, here's what a good relationship looks like. Here's what goes into a good relationship. So with that in mind, that's what I got this, it's what I brought this up here for. What are some things, we'll just kind of list them up on the board here. What are some things that you would list of character traits of our relationship with God? Things that he exemplifies for us. Here's a healthy habit in a relationship. Woo, awesome. Okay, so I would love to say I could hear all that at one time, but let's start this way and kind of fan that way. I heard one over here. Forgiveness. Okay. Oops, goodness, come on, Dusty. Forgive mess. Forgiveness. He's forgiven my mess. Forgive mess. I heard something, I heard like three at one time. What? Faithfulness. Faithfulness? Okay. Love. Probably should have put that one over here, but that's okay. Honesty, very good one. Honesty. Grace. Dependent. We depend on him. So he's dependable. Yes. Is that A-B-L-E? Depend E or A? Awesome. Forgive mess, but I can get that one right. Mercy. So grace. Forgiveness. Yeah, we'll just put that one here. Kindness. Yeah, well, I'm running. Out. Okay, yeah, I did. I had my columns a little off there. That's okay. Joy in our relationship? Yeah, we can throw joy down there. Peace? He offers us peace. So how does he give peace? He's in our life, so he's involved. What? Understanding. So understanding. Hope. How does he give us hope? He does. So, let me jump off of dependable. He follows through on his promises. That's how he gives us hope. He promises, and we have an expectation based out of that promise. Support? Good one. Where is that? Who was that? Support, yes. Support. Well, we got a couple different. Let's bounce around with support a little bit. Let's break that down a little bit. What are some ways that he supports us? He's my go-to. Wisdom. Wisdom. The strength. And along with that would be that's a key thing that the Holy Spirit brings for us is encouragement. Where was the other support? So awesome, provider. Provider. I seem to remember something about hiding in the cleft of the rock. So he provides for us on a daily basis, but he also provides, along with that support, there's that idea that he's a source of protection, a safe place, secure, security. What? Okay. Yes, I was trying to think of a... So, prayers. So we translate that over to relationship. He listens and he acts. Right? He listens to us and he acts on that. Patience. Yes. Great list. Let me see if I've got... Oh, I had one more, I think. Yes. He leads. Which that would fit there. I think we only had one more that I had that, which goes hand in hand with some of the things we're talking about with the Holy Spirit. He empowers us. That's a big part of his relationship with us. He gives to us. So, what? Comfort? Do we have something here? Yes, it could. So I'll comfort with safe. So, I'll break us there. Good job. So, of the different things that I was thinking of, the different things that you guys have thought about here, today is very, very, very simple, and I'll have to keep an eye out there to make sure that you guys aren't driving home in the white stuff today. Wasn't that expected, like 11-something, 11:15? So, what? It's happening now? Oh, well, we're stuck here then. So... I'll just turn my timer off. But actually, today is very, 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 very simple, and I'm very cautious with a message like this because it's extremely topical, and really, this is the biggest biblical part of today. And we'll have some scriptures we'll look at that will help to reinforce this a little bit. But really, the biggest biblical connection today is just the whole Bible, and it's. Here's what God does. Here's how God exemplifies for us what a relationship looks like. And what I did was I picked 9, and then there are 3 categories with 3 in each category. If you look in your bulletin, you guys can go on and open up your bulletin there. And the 3 main categories there is we look at any relationship. You have communication, you have trust, and then you have an invest, to invest into someone. There's always some investment when you're working with human-to-human connections, with these relationships. So there's communication. We'd all agree that's a very important part of a relationship. Trust, very important part of a relationship. And then to be able to invest into another individual, another person, that's very important. So communication, Three of these that we've talked about already. Actually, this one, I saw it pop up here in a different way, and I'm trying to think of which one it was that jumped about me. I think some of this happens here. He leads. We'll get to that one. Leads, that he leads. So one of the things that we see from God is that he clearly communicates the boundaries of the relationship to us. That's a big part of his leadership. And so let's go and write that down, because that's a very big important thing about communication. Clearly communicated boundaries or desires. Now, I use the word desires as opposed to expectations. And there's Andy Stanley does a great thing in a spiel in one of his marriage sermons about the difference between desires and expectations. I think it's really, really cool. So I'm very careful. I'll use expectations. You'll hear it come out of my mouth today, but I try to use desires more than expectations, because expectations, you're holding someone up here, and anything less, they failed. A desire, you're kind of here and you're kind of hopeful, and anything they do, they succeed. So it's very picky, but it's a very neat distinction between the two. So I've tried to start reforming myself. And for him, he's just talking about marriages, but man, that goes in really any other relationship we've got. So you set something up here and you say, here's my expectations, and anything you do that you don't meet it, you fail. But here's my desire, here's my hope. And then as they accomplish some of those things, then they can build change in your relationship and invest into that relationship. So clearly communicated boundaries or desires. All relationships have boundaries. Listen, good relationships have spoken boundaries. Okay, all relationships have boundaries. Good relationships have spoken boundaries. When I'm doing premarital sessions, this is a topic we talk about. And we talk about how if you have a boundary here and it's not spoken, it's like a dog with a hidden electric fence and no flags, right? We've all been in a relationship there, friendship, a boss relationship, a spouse, and you get to the edge and it's, whoa, you know, there's something here, and every time I get in this area, I get zapped, but there's no flags to let you know here's where the boundary is, but there's definitely a boundary there. And anytime you get near it. And so when you have unspoken boundaries, it's not healthy for a relationship, because that creates fear. That creates you actually get a smaller real estate there, because you don't want to go anywhere near the tree in the bush. Somewhere over there, it hurts. So I'm just not going anywhere near that. The shed, same thing. I don't know what it is over there, but it hurts. But you get flags and you lay out boundaries and you speak out boundaries. Then it's very clear. And you know, here's where it is. And when we go out of bounds, we go out of bounds. And that's in all of our relationships. See, from the simplest relationships, I expect, or I have the desire, and sometimes I do struggle with those two, that the bagger at the grocery store will value the integrity of my fruit. That's a boundary. That's a perimeter that I would like for him to operate within. When the bagger at the grocery store throws my bananas around, we have problems. We have an issue. That bothers me. And because I have an unspoken desire. I have an unspoken boundary that my bananas would leave the store unbruised. Amen? Because I'm picky about some things. If you know me, you know I can be picky. And when I go to the banana section, and there's a bunch of them there, I have spent time looking over all of the bananas to pick out the best bunch of bananas that store has to offer that day. I'm not kidding. Bruise free with a little bit of green coming down the top. That's the perfect banana. Bananas will be in heaven. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. No, I can't do that. So when I get to the checkout and this guy just throws them, his plunk on it, we got problems, because I expected that he was going to operate within this boundary. I didn't speak. I didn't say, hey, can you be careful with the bananas there? I just kind of expected it. I just kind of assumed that's his job. So bruise-free bananas, that's what I wanted to leave the store with. And I just assumed he would treat my bananas with respect. an unspoken desire, an unspoken boundary, and he went outside of that boundary, and that affected our relationship. As simple as it may be, it affected our relationship. And if I see him at a checkout bagging groceries, I'm not going to that line. That's a very silly example. But we experience that scenario in so much more important relationships, not just the bagger at the grocery store. Your spouse. Your spouse does something that's outside the unspoken boundaries that you have in your head, and then you got problems. Say, hypothetically, she brings home bruised bananas. We have an issue. True story, actually. So we clearly share our boundaries. And you know, I would like bananas this way, and this is what I look for in a banana. And then she clearly communicates her boundaries. You can shop for your own bananas. We follow this. We do this. We try to. Clearly spoken boundaries. And really, yes, this is much more than just an extended banana example. All the relationships we have involve this principle of these unspoken boundaries that we have, these desires that we have for other people to operate in. And it's so much healthier to just be clear about that. And it's exactly what God does for us. There's no question where we stand on really any subject when it comes to our relationship with God. And that's what makes that relationship with God such a... It opens the door for it to be super healthy because everything's laid out on the table. Everything's there. And we struggle through our relationships. And a lot of it is just this number one point here. We don't communicate those. We don't communicate. And that's very important, to communicate, to verbalize those unspoken boundaries. Any relationship you get into, that's important. And then right with that, all three of these underneath communication, is honesty. Be truthful. I'm going to write that down. Honesty. Be truthful. I think that was the only one we had connected to that. In our communication, and that should go without saying, that really should, but a lot of times, if we were honest with ourselves, see what I did there? If we were honest with ourselves, we like to dodge honesty. And you might have just done it right there. We do. And it's not good for any of us and in any of our relationships. Paul says in Ephesians 4:25, he says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body." Now, this verse is in a section that's specifically talking about our interactions with each other inside the church. But it's great human advice for our human-to-human connections everywhere, not just within the church, to put off falsehood and to speak truthfully to one another. It's a characteristic that God has modeled with us. He's honest with us. He's truthful with us. And we should model that with everything. A supervisor of a different department at work pops in and asks you if you could take care of a work task that's outside of your normal responsibilities. Now, the truth is that you are swamped, doing everything that you can to keep up with what your supervisor looks to have you do, the responsibilities, and you're covered. But you want to be a nice person. And so instead of being truthful, you are false. And you say, "Sure, I'll take care of that." How many of us have done that? That's not truthful. "Sure, I can handle that." No, you can't. You want to be the nice person, but that's not really the nice thing, because what happens then is you say you can, and then you either leave some of your responsibilities and then your supervisor's upset, or you never get around to this thing that you said you'd do, and then they get upset because they were depending on you to do it, and it just doesn't. When really, if you just follow God's example to us in our relationships, all of our relationships, just be truthful. I'd love to help you out, but the truth is, I'm swamped right now, and I can't take another thing on my plate. It's truth. And you share that. That creates a boundary. And it's just being truthful. Pay attention to this next week. I think we would be shocked to find out how often we are not truthful with those around us in all sorts of relationships. A little earlier in Ephesians 4:15, Paul says, "Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." So let's write that down. Let your conversations be full of grace. So we had grace listed up here. Let your conversations be full of grace. This is the model God sets for us. And our conversations should follow his example, that our conversations should be seasoned with salt, full of grace. That there's a certain panache that our conversations should have in them. That we should use words with a certain elegance, knowing, and we'll be talking all about words next week, but knowing the power of words and knowing how to use them correctly, that we can speak truth abrasively, or you can speak truth gracefully. Which one's healthier for any relationship? It is. You can still be stern and strong and be graceful and season it with salt. But yes, graceful. That's the way God works with us. Even in the times when he's harsh to me, it's still seasoned with grace. And I appreciate that a lot. Because he can come down hard. We can go back and read Amos again and from last year in the Minor Prophets. Everything, just seasoned with a little bit of salt, seasoned with a little bit of grace. So communication. Second one we're talking about is trust. So trust is a very important thing. And there are a few things. There are a number of things that you can do to build trust in relationships. And I'm just going to hit three that God exemplifies to us. And one of them is that what Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. He says, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything else comes from the evil one. Let your word be your word. Let your yes be your yes, and let your no be your no. That's it. And Jesus is talking about, he's in a section where he's talking about how you don't need to worry about an oath. An oath is where you're promising something before God, you're involving God's name in it and all that. That's, you know, you swear on the Bible when you're going to be, in court, or if you're doing, right, jury duty, you do that as well, you swear in. And so that's an oath. And Jesus says you shouldn't need to worry about that. When you're giving someone a promise, when you're giving them your word should be enough. So you follow through on those promises. And when God gives us a promise, when God promises us something, then that gives us an expectation of hope. I have a hope that he's going to come through on this. And when he delivers on that, that builds trust, correct? Every time I've had a time when God's given me a promise, I've trusted him, he's come through for me, it builds more trust. And the same is true for any of our other relationships that we're involved in. So that when we deliver dependable hope, let's write that down. And I'll circle, I thought we had hope up here somewhere. Where is it? Someone said it, didn't they? Dependable, there it is. I think it was connected with that. When we deliver dependable hope, promises, that builds trust. When you say you're going to do something and you do it, that builds trust. And if you don't, then it takes away trust. And trust is so very important. Trust opens up green lights in so many relationships. And the opposite is true as well. When you lose trust, or when there's distrust, or when there's just the absence of trust, there's a lot of caution. You don't have as much leniency. You don't have as much room there to operate in that relationship. And that will negatively affect all of that. When you have distrust at work, or you have distrust at home, it's a big deal. Let your yes be yes and build trust by delivering dependable hope. You make a promise, you do it. And don't promise something, don't give a word, give your word on something you can't, because that's going to create distrust, and that's across the board. Another way that we see God build trust in us is that he gave us free will. And that works both ways for him, which is, I look at it from my relationship to him, I look at it as unfortunate. But from his relationship down to me, I appreciate the freedom a lot. I appreciate the ability to try and build that trust back with him. Because sometimes God is very excited over the choices we make. Sometimes he gets, and it's that's through scripture. There are many places in scripture where God's excited. He's like, good job, attaboy. You getting attaboy or attagirl from God, man, that feels good. A little pat on the shoulder from him. The Holy Spirit's like, yeah, you did it. You did a good job. That feels great. But then there are those other times where God's disappointed in my choices, where God's disappointed in your choices. And that's just, that's the give and take. That's the vulnerability in the relationship there of giving freedom. So let's write that down. Give freedom. And I thought we had something up here that connected with that. We don't. I thought we did. So I missed that one. But yeah, he gives us freedom. And this, I mean, this works with an employee. It works with your children. When you give someone freedom, you're communicating them that you trust them, that you're giving them trust. And that creates a vulnerability. And vulnerability, and being vulnerable, that's bonus. Being vulnerable in a relationship, that's important. And sometimes you'll get burned. That happens. But and you have to weigh things a little, and I understand that. There's wisdom there. But even if you get burned, you've built trust in the relationship. And if you can work on that together, then that can also be a building piece. But the trust that you build is oftentimes more important than the little bit of burning that you might receive from that, if you're following me on that. You give trust. And as parents, I think that we've seen that most in a parenting situation. You trust your child. They make a bad choice, and you get burned on that. But you've trusted them. You've given them something far more important. And they hopefully have a little bit of a life lesson to go on with that. But if you never give them that freedom, they never get a chance to have that trust. And that's that creates a ceiling in the relationship. And that's not just with your children. That's across the board. Any relationship you have, when you don't give freedom, you put a ceiling on how high that relationship can go, how deep it can go if you want to go the other way. And you say, here's where I'm going to confine this relationship. Some relationships, I get it. You need to confine some relationships. Some people are not trusting or trustable or whatever, and those are exceptions to the rule. But when we're talking about general relationships, when you give freedom, it can build trust. So you give freedom. So you're dependable. You follow through on things and you give freedom. And then the other thing that we can do is we provide and maintain security and safety. Let's write that down. And that showed up here a bunch. Secure and safety. And this has to do with it in just a minute. You gain trust in your relationships by showing that you can provide security and safety. That's how God develops our relationship with him and builds that trust. You can offer an atmosphere or an environment where they feel safe and secure. And how do we do that? We do that through kindness. Very simple. You do that through gentleness or compassion. Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So say you start volunteering at a community group, and you're kind of the new kid on the block there, and everybody else has been part of the group for a while, and you're brand new in the group, and you got involved in the group because you want to do whatever that group does. You want to participate. You want to have a part of it. And you're not going to get a part of it until you build some trust. And building hope or dependable hope, that takes a little bit of time. Taking care of allowing them to give you freedom, that's up to them. So that'll take a little bit of time. But something you can do right off the bat to start building trust is to be kind. It sounds very simple. But every one of us, if I threw that out on a mental test for all of us, think about the people you trust quickly. They were kind. They were compassionate. They were gentle. And immediately you think, well, they're safe. They're secure. I can trust them. It's a boom. It's a quick road into that opportunity, into that bridge building opportunity, being able to build and grow trust. So you're in that community group with all these people, and you're the brand new person, and you're kind, and you're gentle, and that gives you that just this glow of being safe. And people think, I can trust this person. I can give them a task. I can get them involved in this other thing. And then you get a chance to offer or build the dependable hope. And by delivering that, and they'll give you more freedom. And it just grows and grows and grows. And think about this in any relationship with you have. Some of you might have estranged family. I know that's the case for a lot of people. A parent or a sibling, and something happens somewhere, and you might be at a place in your life where you're saying, you know what, I'd like something in that relationship. I'd like to build a relationship with them. And there's some other things that you'll need to get through and work through, and you know, that's going to be down the road. But one of the starting things that you can do there is kind, be gentle, be compassionate, care about them. And that starts to build this trust if you become a safe person. Yes, there's vulnerability involved in that. All this section under trust, there's vulnerability involved in all of this. But if that's something that you really want, then it's going to take being able to lay down a little bit and give up some vulnerability. And a quick way to start building that is through kindness, through being gentle. And letting them know they can trust you. Let them know you are a safe person. Third category this morning is invest. To invest, and this is our fourth core value: actively investing in other people. Healthy things grow, correct? Unhealthy things die. That's the world around us. That's life. We see that, we experience that. That is a truth for all of us. If you want healthy relationships, you have to invest in their growth. Because if it's healthy, it's growing. If it's not growing, it's not healthy. And so you invest. It's what God does with us. It's His relationship to us. He invests in us. We see this a couple of different places. I'll just bring up a couple of verses here. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 and Hebrews 3:13 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Hebrews 3:13 says, "But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today." So, what the Holy Spirit does for us, we do for other people. We encourage. Encourage every opportunity you have. If you want to invest in someone, a very simple 101 opening door into that is just encourage. Encourage every opportunity you have. We know it feels good when it comes our way. But if you want to invest into someone, you want to help to build a relationship that's healthy, you want to help to grow that relationship, and it just goes across the board. The bagger at the grocery store handles my bananas with care. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate that you didn't just throw those around. That matters to me. It's encouraging. And you're going to help other people. The guy that threw my bananas around that one day, he might have been new. He might not have known. He might have just not cared. I don't know. But you can throw out encouragement every opportunity you have. If it's you can encourage your boss. Don't think that's, you can't do that. They do something, give them, everybody likes an attaboy. Everybody likes an attagirl. You can encourage your coworkers. You can encourage those that you supervise. You can encourage your spouse, your mom, dad, your children. You can encourage anybody in any relationship we have, and it's going to have a positive effect on that relationship. And you're investing. You're investing. Anybody knows anything about investing? If you talk to financial gurus and people that, you know, we might have some people here that are just sitting on a huge nest egg. And it might have started with a big amount of money, or they might have had a big amount of money they could put into it. But I guarantee you, a lot of what happened with that nest egg was little by little. Wasn't it? Yes? That's the way it happens, just little by little. It's the same thing with our relationships. You don't just all of a sudden invest, boom, you know, just a ton, a metric ton of relationship building material, boom, right in the relationship. All of a sudden it goes from a zero to a 100. No, it goes through pennies and nickels and dimes. And you just invest little bits and pieces. And encouragement is one way that you can do that very easily. Just drop them in there. And eventually, you'll just have jars full. We've got a few jars by our front door. And when I've got change in my pocket, I just drop the change in there. And then that jar got full, and we have another jar. And that jar got full, and we have another jar. And that jar's getting full. Years and years and years and years ago, we had done that. And we were going to take a vacation. We were a little short on money. And Jess took all of our change that we had been storing up. Just pocket change. What was it, $300? $300. Like, this is nice. This will help pay for some of the vacation. And it's the same thing with our relationships. Just a little bit. It adds up. It adds up over time. One of the things that we talked about that the Holy Spirit does for us, He empowers us. God empowers us. Let's write that down. That's another way that you can invest in other people, is you empower them to be the best that they can be. And this is directly modeled off of God's relationship with us. God empowers us. He gives you what tools you need to be successful. And that builds a relationship. He's a person I want to be connected to because I know I'm better when I'm connected to him. And I know when I'm disconnected from him, I'm not better. In fact, I start sliding the other direction. How positive is that to model that in all of our other relationships? That people at work, people in your house, people in your neighborhood, people wherever you are, that they know that if they're closer to you, they're going to be a better person. How powerful is that? And how you do that is you just empower them. You give them whatever you can to empower them and lift them up to be the best that they can be. You invest in them. And then you become a very important person in their life. You become a person they want to be around. You become a person that they look to. And that's so very important. Not just for your relationship. We're going to get into the importance of that in just a moment. I think we have, yes, one more. Matthew 5:23-24 says, "Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift." So another thing that we can do to invest is that when difficulties or differences arise, resolve them. We got forgiveness, we have mercy. And some of those also fit into other things that we've talked about so far. You resolve them. You get into a difference, you resolve them. Isn't that what God does with us? And that's the whole picture of the cross. We can't, you know, with the worship time this morning and how Ryan had framed the worship just all about focusing on the cross. I can't crawl up on the cross and die for people that I love in this world. I can't do that. But I can take the principles from that and I can apply that into my relationship with other people. I can look at that and say, you know what? I can give a self-sacrifice sometimes to invest into a relationship. I can forgive someone. I can have a great act of generosity, and all of those are modeled after the cross. And so when we have a difference with God, He restores us. He offers to bring resolution there. And that's a lot of work. It's not as easy as encouraging someone. It's not as easy as dropping the little pennies in the jar. Offering forgiveness and resolution is a lot of work, but it's investing. It's investing in that relationship, and a lot can come from that. And we of all people that walk this earth should understand the importance of resolving things, of how healthy that is for a relationship, and how good it feels to be on the other side of that, to have that resolution brought. To take something that brings just tension and anxiety and it hinders the relationship from being anything that it could be, And we know that when that resolution is brought, that just brings all that to peace. And that's a great thing. When we look at all these things, this is just playing out healthy for our relationships with each other. But there's a bigger picture to be seen here. A much bigger picture. That when we cultivate our relationships with other people, whoever it may be, people at your work, people in your neighborhood, people at the grocery store, you know, maybe you do some things to connect with the policeman or fireman in your neighborhood to be able to do something just nice. Maybe dropping by a big old box of the Dunkin', you know, donut holes once a week. Thank you for your service. That's encouragement. That invests, that builds a relationship. Anything you can do to build and strengthen healthy relationships all around you, it's not just good for you, and it is good for you. You will benefit from this, no doubt about it. You will benefit from healthier relationships, and anywhere you invest in relationships, you're going to benefit from that. But the bigger picture is that the kingdom will benefit because you're going to be able to share with people that you've built relationships with. When you build a bridge and you have a relationship with them, then you're going to be their go-to person when something's going on, when something goes down, when they need help, when they need strength, when they need encouragement, when they need someone that's dependable, when they need someone that's going to give them honest, truthful advice. You're going to be the go-to there. And then it's not just them connecting to you, but then you connect them to God because that's where your wisdom comes from. And that's this whole series. That's the place where you can take what this whole series is about and say, well, you know what? I do this because this is the way God does things. His ways are superior. His advice is what I follow, and that's exactly where I'm going to point you, is his word, and that's why I do what I do, and it's good for you. And that builds a bridge into God's word, and that will build a bridge into them getting a chance to see Jesus. And that happens simply by you acting the way God acts to us in all of your relationships. And that's how the kingdom grows. We invest in other people and we do all that we can to help the kingdom to grow the kingdom, to connect with people. That was our fifth core value, connecting with people. Healthy relationship habits, super important. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for exemplifying this for us, for sharing these with us in your word and letting us see examples in various stories in your word of how these are healthy. Father, I pray that you would be with us as we go and we take these nine simple qualities that you have exemplified for us, that we've experienced as your children. And that you will help us to apply these to our day-to-day life and every relationship we come into contact with. That we would think about healthy communication. That we would think about healthy trust and how to build that. We would think about healthy investing and how we can invest in others and grow those relationships no matter where they are. Yes, we will benefit from this, and there's something to be celebrated there. You lead us in the ways that are healthy. You lead us in ways that are positive. You lead us in the ways that will bring life to our life. But even more important than that, doing this, building relationships, will help us to be more effective for your kingdom. It will help us to be a better witness of who your son is. Your Holy Spirit will manifest through these actions, these gifts that we have that we share with others. I just ask that you be with every one of us. Let this be our focus this week. Let these scriptures and how you act with us be on our mind every day this week. In every relationship we come into contact, every person that we come into contact with, that we recognize this is a relationship. And I can improve this relationship right now, today, by doing one of these nine things. Thank you so very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.